actually, we didn't apply for it till nearly a year later. We disclosed the thing at the same time. Bell, there's a limited attendance semiconductor conference. Well, actually, it was Electron Devices. It maybe included Tubes also. I don't even remember. And June, it was this annual conference. It was supposedly an off-the-record conference. You couldn't use it as a reference in the literature. But that way, people could be a little more frank than they would be otherwise. Legally, you were still publishing it because the patent people says if you tell the people it's published.
Mm-hmm.
But my PNP germanium alloy diffusion transistor was disclosed at the same in the same session where Bell just first disclosed outside Bell their drone junction thing with the wire sticking out the side.
Mm-hmm.
My paper was the paper before it, so mm-hmm. we beat them that.
Right.
That's partly because Bell didn't care where theirs was because they knew theirs was so revolutionary that it didn't matter, and they didn't have a clue what we had been doing, and also because Crawford Dunlap, research and one of the co-inventors of this junction process, which I'll get back to, was happened to be technical program chairman.
Mm-hmm.
So he made sure mine was first. Anyway, I was just in the goodness of his heart from my point of view. Anyway, that I got assigned to that, and it turned out you can get reasonable power amplification in the circuit section, switch practically all of the transistors, and they built pictures of Dick Shea talking into a transistor operating microphone. He made his own hearing aid about the size of about two packs of cigarettes and fit in his pocket, which was very much admired by Dr. Cooley, the research lab. He was there because he needed a hearing aid, and they were still using the miniature tube. Anyway, when we got back from this, I guess Lloyd DeVore said something to W.R.G. Baker about it, and said he'd like to see me. Could I come in Monday morning? Well, he said this on Friday, so I came in Saturday and made about a dozen transistors just to give him an idea how fast he could make them. Used by hand, we had no jigs or anything at that time. They weren't very good, but at least it showed how long it took to run through the process. And this gets me to IRE. I didn't join IRE yet.
Hmm.
Well, I'm a physicist, not an engineer, really.
Mm-hmm.
The two cross over, it's true, but I at that point hadn't appreciated how much of activity would involve engineering rather than physics. In those days, it involved a lot of both. Anyway, I suspect this Committee 7, they used to call it, I don't know whether you run into Committee 7 or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was about to sort of be split. And, before they split, I suspected that Doc Baker's suggestion, they asked me if I'd serve on the committee, and I ended up for a month or two being the secretary of Committee 7, even though Committee 7 was about to disappear, and I never did it. They broke things up before I even never did anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they formed this would be a guiding group. You know, officially those were standards committees, but of course, later on, the concept of professional groups is a lot broader than standards.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the line, people realized that, hey, you can't do that unless you belong. Well, they told me I better join IRE quick, so I did. No trouble getting in, of course. So then I was on that administrative committee from 1952 when it got formed until 1956 when I moved out to Cleveland. In fact, the following spring, I think, or maybe it was that fall, I was that the last thing I did with them was attend and preside over part of a luncheon meeting they had during the fall August devices meeting, which used to be a tube conference. They came up with electron devices, and I suppose there are two now, but I don't even know.